honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owyngin. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, and of course, featuring Spotify, because we are on Spotify for podcasters. It does go to all the different apps, of course, like you've always been using, but if you could use Spotify, it does help, you know, for downloading and listening to the show. It does help the growth of this show on the new platform and can get things going in a really nice direction. Thank you once and always for downloading and listening to the show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. I'm looking for kind of a, this will probably be a shorter episode, just kind of want to talk a little bit about the postseason and kind of enjoying it a little bit, especially the thought that the Warriors might lose a playoff series in the second round, at least. They didn't lose the first round. Maybe the Lakers are really up for this, and there's definitely a good news. So Vince, which is, to me, I think it's good news, believe it or not. Yes, Vince Germano and I definitely happy about what's going on. And annoyed with a certain other team, but figure he's going to be happy about what I'm going to say about this. Probably going to be changing my prediction in the second round series, at least Lakers versus Warriors. But yeah, just kind of want to get caught up with the postseason a little bit of NBA news. Interestingly, Steph Curry right now silently on the mic here. His shirt looks like it has three sixes on it. I don't know. I don't really like that look. Some people might think that that's just conspiracy talk. I don't know. It looks like three sixes. I'm sorry. And I'm not even necessarily looking for three sixes here. It looks like three sixes. I'm sorry. So not sure what that's all about. Yeah, I'll get off that as soon as possible. Garnett sounds more and more passionate about the Timberwolves than he has in quite a while. As pretty much as long as Glenn Taylor's out of the way, I'm sure he'll be happy. And it sounds like he's really becoming a huge fan of Anthony Edwards, which is a really, really good sign. Almost like some people thinking they're kind of like soulmates in a way, Garnett and Kevin Garnett and Anthony Edwards. I'm staying away from the nicknames right now for the moment, like the whole KG and Ant. That's not my cup of tea. I'm more of a Kevin Garnett and Anthony Edwards kind of commentator, I guess, here. That's just how I am. I don't know, not because I'm better than anybody else, because I'm really not. But either than that, otherwise it is kind of cool. It's kind of exciting. So, you know, it's kind of fun to listen to, I guess, the way Garnett is, very impressed with Anthony Edwards, and I'm impressed with Anthony Edwards as well. Anthony Edwards, Ant, I guess we can say a nickname, I guess, here and there. I'm impressed with him very much. Obviously I've talked about it religiously on the show forever. So in a lot of ways, that's kind of the majority of the Timberwolves talk. Again, Garnett seems like he's becoming a bigger and bigger fan. And maybe, just maybe, he will be involved with the Timberwolves again someday. Him being Kevin Garnett, and he will be retired by the Timberwolves. I'm sure he will be. The number 21, anyway. So, trying to pick up where I left off. I know the Wolves obviously got knocked out by the Denver Nuggets. Phoenix knocked out the Los Angeles Clippers and all that. Memphis got beaten pretty soundly by the Los Angeles Lakers. Memphis did kind of hang on for a minute there, winning game number 5 and then got ousted by the Lakers in game 6. Good move by the Lakers, because you don't want to go to game 7 in Memphis. You never know what could happen. The Miami Heat did knock out the Milwaukee Bucks. I had a feeling Budenholzer might be in trouble, and then he wasn't. And then he was fired. So Budenholzer fired, Nurse fired. There was an interesting group brought up as well here. I believe I posted it on the Facebook page. So I'm going to kind of merge around all over the place here. This is, again, going to be a one-segment shot getting caught up with the postseason, but I'm also kind of do a little fan interaction as I'm doing the show, which is kind of a fun way to do it, I suppose, in these off-season bits. I didn't actually post the link, but it was a conversation about, it's been a little bit since the last episode, huh? April 28th. It's a little while, like a week and a half. How basically 2 years after, like the last couple coaches here, 2 years after they won the NBA title, they got fired. Nick Nurse, I'm not sure what happened, why he got fired necessarily. The season didn't end well or anything, but Nick Nurse is a pretty damn good coach. So who knows, maybe the Milwaukee Bucks hire Nick Nurse. A lot of people are hoping, actually locally, that maybe the Minnesota Timberwolves might make a move on Chris Finch and bring in Nick Nurse. Not the dumbest idea, to be quite honest, but we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. So again, the Bucks, Toronto Raptors won the 2019 championship, and then Nurse was fired. The Raptors won the championship. Nurse is fired. I guess Nurse is fired 3 years later, but whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's still very recent. 2020 championship. Frank Vogel let go 2 years later. Frank Vogel let go after winning an NBA championship with the Lakers, and then 2021, Budenholzer fired by the Bucks. So very interesting how things turned out, kind of like a trio. Frank Vogel was actually fired first of the group, but one way or another. Kind of interesting, and some people a little surprised with how that all turned out. I'm on the Facebook page at the moment, so I'm going to kind of bounce around here. Report, NBA executives see Miami Heat, Portland Trailblazers, Boston Celtics, New York Knicks, and Indiana Pacers as potential destinations for Carl Anthony Towns. This generated a little bit of conversation. Now, facebook.com/Timberwolves Explosion. I do hope that is in the show description. And I really appreciate the regulars that have been popping up. Obviously, Tene Brown is a legend and a absolute pillar of this show. But it's cool to see Sean Grant kind of becoming a regular as well, coming out of the woodwork here. Because I remember him years ago on various Timberwolves Facebook pages. Central Connecticut State University studied that, interestingly. I remember him talking about becoming an actor once upon a time on the different page. He was saying, what, for Jaylen Brown with the Celtics, for Ty Halliburton, yep, for Lillard. So that would be very interesting to see what Carl Anthony Towns could be traded for. And, yeah, we'll see. Tene Brown says, would be interesting to see what his value is. Can't see Miami trading him while Butler is there. Ha ha. Yeah, so yeah, that's, I agree exactly. In Miami, my goodness, the interesting run going on there. Once again, another potential playoff run. Jaylen Brown, yeah, I would love to have Jaylen Brown, Ty Halliburton, Lillard, yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, you're hoping you can get something back in return, or a bunch of draft picks, and including a decent warm body or two, which, it's just funny. Every time a star player is traded, it's an unfair trade, right? You figure, yeah, you're not going to get fair value back like Garnett. I talked about this on the previous show, and it just magically happens where the star player that's traded, the team that traded the guy away ended up winning the trade. And it just happened to be us, the team that acquired the star player and lost the trade. It's, of course it was us, right? Of course. The Dallas Cowboys trade away Herschel Walker to the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings give up a billion draft picks. Cowboys win 3 Super Bowls, have a great offensive line, a great running back named Emmitt Smith. And the Vikings had Herschel Walker for 2 years, and he did a whole lot of nothing. I think he returned a touchdown or two and was a mediocre to below average running back, to be quite honest. And the Vikings didn't do anything. They didn't get out of the first round. In fact, they didn't even make the playoffs the second year that Herschel Walker was here. Sounds like Minnesota sports right there. Yeah, it really does. All you got was a whole lot of cursing out of Coach Burnsy. Jerry Burns, the coach of the Vikings at the time in the late 80s, early 90s. The greatest era in the history of video games, but maybe in sports too sometimes. In some cases, we'll continue scrolling upward. But yeah, Carl Anthony Towns trade talk, you just never know. We'll get deeper and deeper into that in a later date. I think I'm not in a huge rush to talk about Carl Anthony Towns being traded. But you would get more value for Carl than for Rudy Gobert, just dumping off Rudy Gobert. But I don't know. And it's like a combination of, okay, so now I am going to get into a little bit. It's a combination of, I don't know. Yep, you might get more back. Carl Anthony Towns has not proven to be a winner, and a lot of people are very frustrated with it. I know that would offend half of the planet just a couple of years ago. Now maybe some of you are waking up a little more about that. Yeah, he doesn't appear to be a winning player. He just kind of talks a lot. I don't know. He just talks. Happy birthday to Kelly Tripucka. Kelly Tripucka. What am I saying? Kelly Tripucka. Yes. I'm gonna name a couple names here really quick because I don't think it's offensive or inappropriate. I mean this in a nice way. So I played years ago. I played a one-on-one game with Tommy Day Senior. So our junior, pardon me. He's a friend of Marcus LaForcaster. Friend. He's a cousin of Marcus LaForcaster's, right? He's about Steph Curry's age, 1988, born in 88. Really, really, really good player. At the time, he was, this is about, gosh, this is like circa like 03. So we're talking way back in the day. He was a young, young guy at the time, was Tommy Day. He was like in his teens. So we're talking 16-ish, 16 years old. So kind of getting, you know, like high school player. Really talented kind of point guard type of guy who could drive to the basket and shoot and all that. Me and him had a one-on-one battle, and it kept going and going and going and going. And I don't know, I'm kind of a mid-range shooter, you know, baseline, gut it out. And after the game, Tommy Day Sr. compared me to Kelly Trapuka, and I'm thinking, Kelly Trapuka, who's that? So I'm not trying to make it about me. I'm trying to make it about Kelly Trapuka here, folks. And I was like, Kelly Trapuka, who's that? And it's like, and I was thinking, oh, what do you mean? Some gritty white guy who was like a, you know, ninth, tenth guy on a team, you know, who could rebound and knock people around a little bit. No, Kelly Trapuka was an awesome, awesome basketball player. It opened the door. You're like, look, let's look him up. Let's see what he really was like. Let's watch him play. And it's like, oh my God, he actually plays a similar type of game, but obviously as a professional version versus me, Mr., you know, Mr. Playground legend, so to speak, back in the day. If you could call me that. But I was at the playground a lot, shooting hoops a lot, but doesn't necessarily mean I'm a legendary player, but I played a decent game. To be compared to Kelly Trapuka, after watching what the guy did, I realized what a great compliment that truly was by Tommy Day Sr., and it's like, damn, that guy was awesome. If not for getting beat up during his career just because he played too hard and played constantly, if his career wasn't shortened, he might have been a Hall of Famer. Like, he was that good, especially in the early days of the Detroit Pistons. Obviously got overshadowed a bit by, you know, the Isaiah Thomases and Joe Dumars because of what great players they became. But what an awesome player. Kelly Trapuka wound up on an expansion team called the Charlotte Hornets, the original Charlotte Hornets, averaged over 22 points a game, almost 23. Pretty damn impressive, actually. The comment was, this is the Basketball Republic. Dale Curry and Rex Chapman were too young. Muggsy Bogues too short. And the rest of the team was a mix of declining veterans. This would be the Charlotte Hornets. Veterans and scrubs. It was like Tommy Maddox dominating the XFL. Kelly Trapuka was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And he's a New Yorker with a great personality, too. He was actually on In All Airness a while back with Adam Ryan. Wow. Check that episode out. Check that episode out. Check Kelly Trapuka, Detroit Pistons, and then the Hornets later on. And I believe he played on a few other teams. But the prime of his career was with the Detroit Pistons before they started winning championships in the 80s. He even looks like a New Yorker, doesn't he? Kind of got that Tony Danza look, you know? I really appreciate Kelly Trapuka. And yeah, happy birthday indeed. It doesn't even say how old he was. What the heck? But I'm pretty sure he's older than Michael Jordan, so he's got to be in his 60s now. I can't believe Michael Jordan turned 60 this year. What's up with that? Isn't that sad? It's sad. I'm going to look real quick. I apologize. I almost forgot that this was pointed. Kelly Trapuka, he was born in 1812. No, I'm kidding. He was drafted in the 12th overall in 1981. So obviously he's, 64 years of age. What the heck? Happy birthday, Kelly. February 16th? This was April 28th. Okay, well, he turned, unless Wikipedia is all messed up, which is possible. Glen Ridge, New Jersey, but basically a New Yorker. Detroit Pistons, Utah Jazz, Charlotte Hornets, and then eventually retired in 92 from CSP Limoges. Two-time NBA All-Star, 1982 and 84. Again, had a beautiful mid-range shot, especially from the baseline and such. And it's like, oh my God, that's me. He really did play a similar type of game, but at a professional level, not, you know, a playground level. Anyhow, conversation. I posted this on the other three, on the other two podcasts I do with the sports anyway, locally, the Vikings and the Wild. Woof, Minnesota sports teams, Vikings, Twins, Wild, and Timberwolves have made the playoffs 50 times. This is since 1991, by the way, with zero championship game appearances, like no NBA Finals, no Stanley Cup Finals, no World Series or Super Bowls. Appearances, not even winning them, but appearances. No one else is even close to that number, which is really embarrassing. The Twins won the 91 World Series, And since then, it's been, you know, the North Stars went to the final and lost at the end of the day. Yep, Bucks fire coach Mike Budenholzer after early playoff exit. So that was, again, Wojnarowski posting that. Sean Grant says it doesn't seem fair. Another comment, Vince Germano says, plonkers, Wolves should hire him. Maybe. But the sad truth is his playoff success has not been good either, honestly. I guess he did get to the conference finals with the Hawks, of all teams, which never happens. The Hawks never got to the conference finals since they moved to Atlanta, unless it was like at the very beginning. Because I know I think maybe they did way at the back in the day when it was only like a round to get to the conference finals, I think. It was like two rounds and then the NBA finals. Way back in the early days, pre-Dominique, like way back in the day when they were like green, like lime green and stuff. Like the Wolves have been trying to copy that. A really funny meme out there is, you know, like remember Michael Jordan in the Last Dance when Gary Payton said basically like, oh, you know, if they put me on Michael Jordan, we might have won that series. If they let me guard Michael Jordan more in that series. And Michael did the glove. I had no problem with the glove. Like, give me a break. Like, the Sonics were getting destroyed in that series, by the way. And, you know, the glove did have a couple moments, but give me a break. So, similarly, they used that part of where Michael Jordan was laughing his ass off on the tablet and watching what Gary Payton said to, like, LeBron James thinks he's the GOAT, but, well, look, let's look at his uniform. Two Air Jordan symbols and the number 23. It's like when you think you're the GOAT, but he's on your uniform. So I kind of like and appreciate that. Update also, Stitcher was kind of stuck since I moved to Spotify for podcasters. It was not updating. It was stuck at episode 362, right? Yeah, 362 was stuck there. And then finally got caught up, so 367. So Stitcher, after I emailed and contacted them and said, here's the new RSS feed, things got cleared up and started moving. Conversation, this was as recent as today, or yesterday anyway. Wolves could replace J-Mac, that'd be Jordan McLaughlin, by bringing home a local star. And that would be Trey Jones. Trey Jones, who's actually been pretty decent with the San Antonio Spurs, so definitely look him up. I think you hear from a couple people here. Tanae Brown, New Zealand, says McLaughlin was probably the biggest disappointment of the season for me. Felt like the league just figured him out. Was never the same after the calf injury, unfortunately. And yeah, I couldn't believe it. Huge disappointment. Sean Grant says, I think Trey Jones would be a solid addition, personally. I think so, too. I think he'd be a really nice addition. I think he'd make the Wolves a little better. So good thoughts there in the Facebook page. I'll jump back into the postseason look some more shortly. In fact, very shortly. So where's the last episode here? At TWolvesEX, at TWolvesEX. I didn't click on notifications, so I was never going to find it. Yeah, Twitter's quiet, I think. No, it's not. It's not as quiet as I think it is, and that's totally good. It's actually really good. Interesting stuff. Levi and Tanae out of New Zealand retweeted the most recent show along with Vince Germano out of Australia. Episode 367, Gentleman Sweep. And then Tanae Brown posts a little analytics information here. 22-23 postseason TPA. Biggest surprise to me is Towns is at the bottom. Thoughts? So let me see this. Yeah. How did he say this? This is where I get a little... is right at the bottom. Yeah, like he was completely negative. He was like a minus 12-ish. Looks like minus 11, minus 12 during the TPA. And the postseason defensive points saved. Yeah, so like he's down there, and he's down in the offensive points added. So offensive points added. Looks like it's even worse than the defensive points saved. That's pathetic. Anthony Edwards is way in the other corner. I mean, way in the other corner. So it's like far and away who the best player is on the team. And tonight when you watch LeBron James fly and block shots multiple times versus the Golden State Warriors in game number 3, you see a little bit of that from Anthony Edwards. You're seeing more and more of it. You saw a lot of it this year where he would fly around and block shots and such. And that's got me very excited about Anthony Edwards. Kevin Garnett does still see Karl-Anthony Towns as a superstar in the league. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure I agree with Garnett about him, but Anthony Edwards, absolutely. He says basically the Wolves have two superstars. I'm not so sure about that. But there's like a huge crowd of guys in kind of the negative zone and kind of hovering around the middle of mediocrity and all that. At least Anderson saved some points, basically. And Mike Conley was positive in the offensive side slightly, which is funny and hard to believe, actually. But it was only like two. Anthony Edwards is way up in the moon, offense and defense. 12 defensive points saved and 29 offensive points added. So it's kind of like a differential type of analytic. Anthony Edwards is like 100 miles ahead of everybody else. It's just bottom line. It's not even close. And Karl-Anthony Towns, now this is during the postseason, and it's kind of been a problem with Karl-Anthony Towns forever, to be quite honest. And I'm not sure what else to say other than if you can, you know, if you can get a nice deal, you probably really, you know, it does depend on what you're going to get back. But I think it's a conversation that needs to be exercised ASAP, especially before his contract goes up into the Supermax range. Once it's there, he's going to be harder to trade because Supermax is super freaking difficult and expensive. I tweeted out with the Lakers, with the hashtag Lakers, 100% in this series. No surprise to anyone that listens to my show, I'm sure. Ha ha. Love the win tonight despite it being super close at the end after a double-digit lead. So the Lakers blew a double-digit lead but hung on and won it. The Wolves have blown double-digit leads and lose. It's really annoying. Another LeBron versus Michael. Yeah, it's the same post. I just moved it to Twitter, and this generated a response. Tane Brown says, one's the greatest player of their generation, LeBron James, and the other's the greatest ever to do it. As good as LeBron has been, Jordan changed the game. Yep, absolutely. Benzo out of the Bronx says, how do you feel he changed the game? The game changed before and after MJ as well. Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose. Michael brought so many fans to the NBA. It started with Magic and Bird. Like, the NBA was kind of dying in the late 70s, even with some really nice all-stars like Dr. J and George Gervin, guys like that, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But there was something missing. And then Magic and Larry brought that extra oomph, that extra something. And then Michael took it to a level of pure insanity. Like, everybody wanted to be like Mike. It, you know, Magic and Bird, there was something very special in them, and they have a charm that'll never be matched. But Michael is that next level. He is the next level. That it's so hard to even explain it necessarily to a point, but everybody wanted to be Mike. Everybody truly wanted to be Mike. Everything from the shoes to the being able to jump and make the great plays. And I know a lot of people want to be Curry and hit 99 three-pointers, and yes, he changed the game in his sense as well. But Michael was the best defender in the NBA, or top five, and he was the best scorer in the NBA. It was a combination. That kind of stuff just doesn't exist. It just doesn't. It's exciting when you see Anthony Edwards, though, when he's kind of like on both sides of the equation, offensively and defensively. That's a really good sign. Because most people would have thought Anthony Edwards is an inconsistent offensive player and a below-average defensive player. Where in the postseason, it looked like he really turned it up a notch, which something in the Minnesota Wild could use some help in. There's not good postseason performers on the Minnesota Wild whatsoever. Michael changed. It's not necessarily like he changed the game, like changed it. Like, say, Shaq, you know, where it got to a point where the zone defense it's hard to even explain. Yeah, like guys like Shaq, they had to eliminate the zone defense, that type of thing. Or they had to, you know, they had to eliminate the zone defense and such. And then now, they didn't eliminate the zone defense. They actually had to bring back the zone defense to be able to help prevent it, that type of game. And then all of a sudden, the Warriors capitalized on that because, you know, you can't really, you know, if you try to play zone, teams like the Warriors are going to burn you with threes. And if you try to clog the middle and everything from guys driving to the basket, they'll burn you with threes instead. That type of thing. So I understand that, where Michael, it's not like necessarily if he changed the game, but he amplified the game. he brought so many more fans to the game that would have never existed. My mom would have never watched basketball if not for Michael Jordan. I'm not kidding. Like, my mom doesn't, she's not a sports fan. She's not a sports fan, but when Michael was on, she would actually watch. And in hindsight nowadays, how my mom doesn't care about sports to this day, just how much she cared about seeing Michael Jordan play, it just blows my mind, and it tells you something. That's the kind of quote-unquote change Michael may have brought to the game, was he brought so many people to the game, that change in that sense, like adding everybody. Everybody wanted to watch. People in China, people in Australia, people in Switzerland, people in wherever. It was unbelievable what Michael truly brought to the game. So that might be a lame response, but that's how I see it at the very least. I hope you guys don't think it is. And I was also telling on Twitter that, FYI, the Stitcher feed is working again. And I appreciate all four of you guys, Tanay, Levi, Vince, and Benzo for retweeting that. And that's the end of the fan interaction part. I'm going to look some more into the NBA playoffs itself. And I apologize that I kind of actually stepped away from that for a bit. The Knicks, I mean, I had the Cleveland Cavaliers winning that series at one point. The Knicks won comfortably, but then Miami is just picking right up where they left off. Butler missed a game. New York capitalized in game two, but didn't win by that much. And then Miami comes right back in game three in Miami, 105-86. It's just absolutely nuts to see what the Heat are doing. They did win their division, but it was a really weak one, only 44 wins on the season. So the Knicks obviously were the higher seed because of that situation. Julius Randle only 10 points tonight. Ridiculous. Butler with 28. Or it's not even 10. Was this tonight? Yeah, it was. Yep, this was tonight. Yes, I did see it. I apologize. I didn't watch the whole game necessarily, but I watched it off and on. I can't watch every game every time, every second. So that's just an unfortunate fact. People talking about the Wolves getting Obi Toppin for... Karl-Anthony Towns does a whole lot of nothing for me. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see Obi Toppin becoming much of a star in this league, in fact, at all. I think he's just a role player at best. So, but Miami, what they're able to accomplish, what they're doing is insanely impressive. And we'll see. You just might see the Miami Heat and the Celtics in the conference finals. Philadelphia winning without Joel Embiid in game one was insanely impressive. But since then, the Celtics have literally put a stranglehold in the series. Well, not really, but they've beaten Philadelphia pretty good two times in a row. And it's actually quite impressive what they've been able to accomplish. They're up 2-1, and I would not be surprised one iota if it's Boston in the NBA Finals. In fact, I'm still leaning towards that. Miami's on a great playoff run, but I don't know. If they're the first NBA team to win a championship with the 8th seed, I guess so be it, but I truly doubt that's going to happen. I think the Celtics are the team of destiny, particularly in the East, but maybe overall. Just might end up being the LA Lakers as the overall team of destiny in the NBA. It's been insanely impressive what they've been able to accomplish. Denver has been overlooked by people like me who think they're the number one seed, but they're not going to do a whole lot. They only won 53 games. It's a cute little wide-open Western Conference. But then you get the old dynasties, the superstars that have multiple championships, the Currys with four, who I hate. No, I'm just kidding. It's not even hate. I dislike Curry. I dislike the Warriors. I shouldn't say hate, even though I'm not one of those ultra-sensitive types when it comes to that. But, you know, LeBron James has four championships. You know, two with the Heat, one with the Cavaliers, one with the Lakers. So you got two guys with four championships and all that. The Lakers, you know, obviously what they accomplished just a few years ago in 2020 and how good they were when they finally bleeping stayed healthy. I mean, Anthony Davis staying healthy makes the Lakers so unbelievably dangerous. I'm going to come back to that shortly, sorry. The Denver-Phoenix series has been insanely disappointing, generally speaking, until yesterday when the Phoenix Suns finally won a game, and Chris Paul's hurt again, magically injured again in the playoffs. The one year he finally stayed healthy, took the Suns to the finals, and they blew a 2-0 lead in the series to the Milwaukee Bucks and lost, and I felt terrible for Phoenix Suns fans who've been around forever. You know, a team that had been around for over 50 years and all that. No championships. They finally got a number one pick for the first time ever. So Timberwolves fans have a lot less to complain about with the draft lottery than the Phoenix Suns. But Phoenix, of course, was a fairly competitive team for most of their existence. Kind of like the Minnesota Wild, I guess. Like, imagine if the Wild got a number one pick. And it was like a guy like DeAndre Ayton, who was decent, not that great. I would figure, you know, like a decent hockey player rather than like a Connor McDavid, you know, which is, you know, what you hope your number one pick is going to be a franchise-changing type of guy. And I do think Anthony Edwards is becoming that. He is the guy I wanted. I wasn't convinced he was going to be a franchise changer, but I was convinced he was going to be an absolutely great player. You could totally see it, but franchise-changing, history-changing type of guy, possibly, for your franchise anyway, I think he is. I think Anthony Edwards really is the next Garnett, but maybe beyond Garnett, hopefully. Offensively, I think absolutely he is, but may even bring that extra defense as well. That's going to help him surprise a lot of people. Maybe he's going to be our Michael Jordan, so to speak, that scoring champion type of guy that can actually play super good defense too, where people ignored that about Michael until 1988 when he got the Defensive Player of the Year award. But Phoenix, yeah, it's been a disappointment so far. Denver's looked pretty damn good. Booker, who's kind of obnoxious guy sometimes, a little on the... Well, you know what? Everybody's cocky, but he's super cocky. And I don't know. He doesn't always rub me the right way. Curry really doesn't. I didn't like Game 7 at all, but we'll get back again to that. Phoenix, again, we'll see. I'm not really hopeful. Looks like it could be... there's a pretty good chance we might have LA and Denver in the conference final. That'd be quite interesting to see how that turns out. If the Lakers can somehow go all the way, and you might get Lakers-Celtics all over again. Wouldn't that be something? LeBron James as a Laker, and then against that really tough Celtics series, team. That could be a great series, actually. Might end up being really something. But that grin on Curry's face made me so... Oof. Absolutely. That grin on Curry's face during Game 7 of the Sacramento series. As good as Curry played in that game, as great as he played, just the arrogance on his face, it rubbed me the wrong way. I'm sorry. Call me somebody, call me whatever. I wasn't offended and my feelings weren't but hurt by it, but I just think he's an ass. I think he's an ass, and I think he likes to rub it into people's face every time he has a good game or whatever. I think it's a lot more about him than people want to admit. I think it always has been. Honestly, I go all the way back to his great game against the Knicks when he blew off his teammates when he was celebrating his great game. He hit his shot and was running down the court. That's when he lost me, and he never got me back. I think it's way more about him than people want to admit. He must be a decent teammate behind the scenes, but I don't know. When it comes to celebrating, it's all about him, man. I'm telling you, it always has been. And I don't know. I didn't like it. It's like, dude, come on. Unless the Sacramento Kings were talking all kinds of crap to him the whole time, like John Morant level, I don't think that, I don't know, that just wasn't a good look. Like, you're 35, you have 4 championships, at least pretend you've been there. My God, you know, it's like a 16-year-old kid on the playground, you know, after hitting like 10 threes in a row, after hitting like 6 threes in a row and, you know, kind of showing the other guys up, you know, guys that he doesn't know, whatever, up. It's kind of dumb, or his buddies, whatever. But I like what I'm seeing out of the Los Angeles Lakers. Again, I know you might think I'm the biggest ass ever, crapping all over Curry, but I'm sorry. I don't like the way he craps on other players in the NBA and teams. I just don't. I don't like the guy at all. sorry. Extremely impressed with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And when Anthony Davis is healthy and plays at the top of his game, the Lakers could win the NBA championship this year. Dead serious. They actually could win the whole thing. I'm not predicting them to. I'm staying with the Celtics, who I picked at the very beginning of the season. You can listen back to the season preview episode. I had the Celtics playing Phoenix, I think. Or was it even Phoenix? I forget now. I don't know if it was Phoenix. It might have been the... It was the Wolves. No. It might have been Phoenix. Like, I was hoping Phoenix would kind of get their butts in gear. And I had Phoenix going into this series winning the West. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Denver just seems to be too much. There's a lot of depth in Denver, you know. And Jamal Murray's been unbelievable. I think if anybody can beat Denver, it's the Lakers. It's probably not the Suns. It's the Lakers. And Chris Paul being injured for the 99th time in the playoffs in his career. Well, and Anthony Davis, stay healthy. It's kind of guys like that. Guys like Anthony Davis or Chris Paul, stay healthy. Yeah, you have a team that could win it. The Lakers have won it already, and LeBron James is still, in a lot of ways, as great as Joel Embiid was, and he did deserve the MVP this year. In a lot of ways, when you watch him, LeBron James is still the best player in the league. And he is kind of like almost like a Tom Brady right now with the way he's been able to prolong his career and stay good. I refuse to give the GOAT title to him versus Michael Jordan. I can't do it. I cannot. But other than Michael Jordan, he is the best second place guy there. He is second place by a mile, I think, at this point in his career and the way things are headed. He wins this championship. Michael's still the best. But LeBron, he creates more and more distance from anybody else, in my opinion. It gets Michael and LeBron and, daylight second. It's Michael, LeBron, daylight second, or daylight third, should I say. I think Boston and L.A. tip off in the NBA Finals. I do. I think the Lakers and the Celtics are in the NBA Finals. The Celtics still win, but the Lakers could win this thing. Absolutely. I wanted to kind of get into that conversation. I wasn't necessarily wanting to come and dump on Curry just now. More or less, I'm more impressed with what the Lakers are doing. Can they win it this year? Yes. Will they? I probably not. I just think the Celtics are the best team in the league. I thought they were the best team last year, too, and the Warriors got hot at the right time, and the Celtics peed down their leg at the wrong time. That's what happened. The Celtics should have won last year, but they just blew it. They simply blew it. And if the Lakers don't win, it's because they blew it, frankly. The Warriors aren't as good as, people think. They're certainly not as good as they think. But when they get it, when they get in a rhythm, that's when they can beat you. And it's more or less allowing them to get into that rhythm. That's the problem. That's what happened with the freaking Sacramento Kings. They should have beat them. Sacramento should have beaten the Warriors. But they let them get in a rhythm, and that was it. That was the end of it. So that the hope is just to keep the Warriors out of their rhythm enough that you can walk away with the victory. Lakers winning by 30 tonight was pretty fun. pretty fun indeed, but the Warriors definitely went on a run or two in that game. Lakers-Celtics NBA Finals. Classic matchup. Celtics win. With that said, thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Maybe click on the link if you want to start trading cryptocurrency. It'll put $25 in your account. Show that I referred you and to help this show. Download and listen to this show on the Spotify app if you can. If you prefer Apple, you prefer Odyssey or anything like that else, anything else, it's okay. But, it will help the show. If you use Spotify, but if you can't stand Spotify for whatever reason, maybe it's an annoying app to use and you don't like it. The show is also now on Player FM, so that's an app that's been around a little while. It's on Player FM now, so I'm really excited about that one. That's a really interesting app. But Spotify is the one that will help the show the most. But any download and any listen and telling your friends about the show and friendly ratings on Apple Podcasts or other apps that allow you to do that, always greatly appreciated, and I can't thank you enough. With that, I'm going to shut up now and wish you a wonderful week or two until the next episode where we get caught up some more in the playoffs. Hopefully things head the direction I'm seeing. We'll see if I'm right. We'll see if I'm wrong.